The eight limbs of yoga, Ashtanga yoga, apply to all areas of life, including, of course, our approach to asana. A fully enlightened human being is someone who is always in harmony with nature's intelligence, totally in flow. They're in harmony and in sync with all the eight limbs. And we could say the eight limbs are fully developed in that person. When it comes to how the eight limbs are relevant with the practice of yoga asana, let's consider each of them separately. First of all, the first limb, the yamas, the five yama principles, these are essential principles to guide the practice of yoga. The first one, ahimsa, literally non-harming, loving kindness. So how we approach moving into postures, how we are in relationship to our body, is very much governed by this principle. Being kind, being sensitive, respectful, reverential, these are all qualities of ahimsa which we're wanting to bring into our practice. Any undue forcing, any straining is violence, and it's only going to create problems for us. So of course we want to open up and develop through asana, and exploring the edge is part of that, but always we do that in sync with the principle of ahimsa. Ahimsa links closely with satya. This is integrity at the deepest level. And satya in asana is that we only do what is appropriate and true to our body at the particular time. So being in sync with satya means listening to the body and its needs and adapting our approach to a pose according to the body's needs, which changes not only from day to day but from moment to moment. So rather than approaching practice mechanically, always listening to the body and adapting to what the body is needing. Satya means we don't try and do poses that aren't appropriate for our body at that time. We always are true, we're in integrity. Aparigraha, the third yama, is really the active principle of letting go of expectation, letting go of that which doesn't serve us, not holding on to expectation, our body should be doing this, we should be able to do this in that pose, we should be able to go further or hold it longer. Just learning how to let go of expectation is so much the relevance of a parigraha in asana, and it could also relate to letting go of the disturbances in the environment, maybe noise around us in the environment when we're practicing, or letting go of something that just happened in a former pose or something that's happened to you before you came to the mat. So proactively letting go of anything that doesn't serve us, that keeps us away from the present moment and that kind, supportive awareness to our body as we go into the pose. Asteya in asana is really this not misappropriating, not taking which isn't rightfully ours. So in an asana practice, it's very common that people tend to favour the poses they like. They tend to avoid poses that they're not so attracted to. It can also mean sometimes we'll stay in some poses longer than others. We could favour one side of the body more than the other. And really, if we're going to be in sync with asteya, we honour what's appropriate for the body. So usually that will mean balanced time in poses. balancing right and left sides, and making sure that the poses that we don't like, we don't resist, we're also including those in our practice, because usually what we resist is what we most need. So these are all important elements that a stayer pick up in an asana practice. And the final yama, brahmacharya, is whole being focus. Just your whole life force is committed, dedicated in that moment. And this brings tremendous power to the practice. Also, it expresses on another level as our sexual energy. So if we found that our sexual energy was leaking, we could say, if we're doing a practice perhaps in a group and we start focusing on someone around us, how they're looking, how they seem, and it's kind of stirring some sort of sexual energy, then of course this is out of sync with brahmacharya. So we want to always just come back, be present and very focused with our practice. So it's whole being focus, and with our sexual energy, keeping it focused and channeled in an appropriate way. So when we're doing an asana, we're doing the asana. If you were in a different situation, if you were doing a practice as a couple, then brahmacharya would mean that you are totally focused on your partner. Your whole energy is flowing to your partner. So this can be a relevant thing in asana practice when we're doing couple practice and as part of tantric education. The next limb of yoga, the niyamas, this is highly relevant in the way we practice asana. Shaucha is cleanliness or purity. It applies to the cleanliness of our body when we practice asana. We feel fresh, we feel good. So it usually means we've bathed before it, at least to some degree. And it also means that our clothes are clean, that the environment we're practicing in is clean. We feel uplifted by the cleanliness of the environment. And shaucha can also mean that the way we practice is also environmentally sustainable. Means that the purity is there on the level of thought, feeling, any speech, and of course in action. Santosha. Santosh is contentment and being so fully present here now. So part of santosha is accepting the state of the body and what it's needing, feeling more gratitude for what you have, the state of your body, and what you're able to do with your asana practice. So santosha is fundamentally present-centeredness, and it's founded on a deep sense of gratitude for where you are, who you are, and that includes the state of your body and the gift of being able to do an asana practice. Ishvara pranidhana is devotion to the highest principle. If you're a religious person, it would mean devotion to God and surrender to God. If you operate in a more secular world, then it's devotion to the highest principle. So this could be anything for you. Love, it could be, you know, the deepest level of the well-being of all. But when you practicing with a sense of reverence for life, reverence for the divine, when you're really feeling that you are an instrument for life, an instrument for the divine, you're cultivating Ishvara Pranidhana. So anything that cultivates devotion and those finer feelings of the heart is very much in sync with Ishvara Pranidhana. Then we have tapas, very important principle in the practice of asana. Tapas is that dedication, that commitment, that ability to rise above. And often it will require tapas when it's a cold morning and it's time for your asana practice and you don't want to get out of bed, but it's something you're committed to for the great benefits it brings. So tapas involves getting out of bed and preparing yourself so that you can do your practice. Tapas also involves many moments where you might be ready to do a practice and a friend calls, oh, do you want to go to a movie? And it's so appealing, so attractive. But you're focused on your commitment to your practice. So you say, maybe we go to a later one, I do my practice first, or we go another time. So the commitment to stay with your goal. And it's also very relevant in each asana. So the tendency to pull out of asanas that you're not as comfortable with. Tapas means you stay present and intelligently work in opening up more and more in the asana. So tapas is very important. When we explore the edge of our comfort zone, you're going to be activating tapas, but ahimsa needs to be present with that, as well as satya and the parigraha. And swadhyaya is the last of the niyamas. Swadhyaya, self-reflection. So self-reflection means that you can reflect on your asana practice, what's working well for you, what needs to change, how you can improve your practice. So reflecting yourself, asking a teacher or an experienced fellow student how you can improve in a pose, improving alignment, improving ways that you can access a pose, improving your ability to stay very present in a pose and staying with the flow of the breath. Reflecting on how you can bring the principles of asana more and more into everyday life and how your body moves and alignment. And it also, swadhyaya also includes study of any material that helps you understand your practice more, helps you develop it. So any of the wisdom text, any of the writings of those that can really help you develop on your yoga asana journey. Indeed, on your whole yoga journey, of course. Now, whenever we're doing a practice, ideally all the eight limbs are being activated in the practice. So, yamas and niyamas, the first two limbs. Asana, of course, when we think of asana, obviously it's the postures, but asana relates to everything we bring into our body and how we are in relationship with our body. So, of course, asana, when you're doing an asana practice, we're very focused on the limb of asana, but just to recognize that it has broader dimensions. Pranayama is the expansion and control of the life force, prana. So in our asana practice, the combination of awareness and the breath patterns will be having quite a significant effect on prana. Ideally, our breath is in a lovely flowing rhythm. We're breathing using the fuller potential of the lungs, and the breath is very much centered from the nabi area, from the abdomen. We, of course, might be using bandhas like Uddiyana Bandha to support us in the pose. And if we're using Uddiyana Bandha or the other bandhas, then we're concentrating the prana more in the torso. to stimulate the pranic changes that are taking place. The way we're breathing will influence the pranic body very significantly. And the main thing here is keeping awareness with the breath. And if you catch it at all, laboring, feeling a little forced, it's important to come back to that beautiful rhythmic flow. So if you catch laboring of the breath, exhale a few times to release any of that tightness, and then see if you can regain that easy in-breath. Those who are very comfortable with Ujjayi breath, ideally we're utilizing Ujjayi breath as much as is appropriate during our asana practice. But there are times when it might not be so appropriate for us. Now, when you're doing a more dynamic practice, then we're very attentive to that flow. And in every asana, we're working with the energy that underlies the breath to open a little more in the pose, working with the expansion and contraction principles as we open up more and more progressively in each posture. If you're doing a slower asana practice, there may be moments for someone who has a very settled mind where the breath becomes very fine, and even there can be a moment where the breath stops. If that's the case, you go with that and just enjoy that moment before you come back to the next breath and the next stage of the asana. This will only really occur for people who have very settled minds and when they're doing a slower asana practice, a more meditative asana practice. The next limb of yoga, pratyahara. Pratyahara is the relationship between the mind and the senses, really cultivating a relationship where the senses no longer draw the mind unnecessarily. The mind has full control of where it wants to go. So pratyahara is primarily the ability to withdraw your awareness away from that which doesn't serve us. And the strongest part of pratyahara is withdrawing awareness away from outer sensory activity, drawing it within. So this is something we need to activate frequently during our asana practice. If the mind comes out into other thoughts, thoughts of the day, thoughts about what's going on around us, we're drawn to external noises. Pratyahara involves just bringing the awareness back into the body, being with the breath and the sensations in the body. So this is a very active process we'll be using a lot during our practice. And of course, when we start our practice, there's a conscious pratyahara where we withdraw from the activities of the day and bring our awareness back into the body. This leads to dharana. Dharana is focus. And dharana is the ability to focus on what you want and maintain that focus. So, of course, pratyahara withdraws attention from what we don't want. Dharana is focusing on what we do want to focus on. So in our asana practice, primarily this will mean coming back to the breath, the energy that underlies the breath, and the sensations in the body. This will be the primary focus of dharana. There could be other focuses with drishti, the focus of the gaze, but primarily we want to be present in the body in our asana practice and with the flow of the breath and the energy that underlies the breath, feeling that life force. And if we're really cultivating dharana, then that will lead to some moments of dhyan. Dhyan is the process of transcending or the mind becoming fully absorbed. So when you start experiencing dhyan, the mind is settling deeply. And it leads to the final limb of yoga, which is also the goal of yoga, which is samadhi. Samadhi. So the eighth limb. And in a more dynamic asana practice, you could just have the experience that you're just so present to the flow, and you start experiencing that everything just seems to be happening by itself. It's as if the asana is just taking place on its own. You feel so light, you feel so free. You could feel all sorts of wonderful energies. So moments of samadhi in dynamic poses, dynamic movement, is really the experience of being totally in flow, where it just all seems to be happening by itself, and it's very beautiful. If you're doing a quieter asana practice, moments of samadhi could come when the mind actually transcends thought and there's a moment of profound stillness. And if that takes place, you go with that. When you become aware of the breath again or the body, you again continue with the asana. So the eight limbs of yoga are highly relevant to the practice of asana. And hopefully we can be bringing an awareness of the eight limbs into every pose, every asana that we practice. Moving in, enjoying the asana, all the layers of the asana, moving out of the asana. It's a beautiful dance of life. And we'll feel the rich benefits as a result. Namaste. May you really enjoy your practice.